Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So, first up, pulling up all my fun stuff here. First up, a Florida man was convicted of attacking a victim with a sword during a road rage incident. This happened in Sumter County, Florida. A Florida man is facing legal repercussions after he was found guilty of felony criminal mischief for using a sword during a road rage incident. The charges against 45-year-old Lyell Lewis Sloan arise from a road rage incident which took place a couple of years ago, but it escalated into a full-on physical confrontation. Sumter County Sheriff's Office deputies responded to a call about an armed and dangerous dude. And when they arrived, the deputy spoke with the victim and a witness. They said they were traveling together in a truck. The guy was driving erratically. He obstructed their path. This guy in front of them, they said he veered off the road, stopped in a ditch. And then he tried to taunt them to try to escalate the incident into a physical altercation. They tried driving away because he was trying to block their path. And that's when he ran in front of their vehicle. And they contacted law enforcement. They said that when the perpetrator saw the individuals and approached them, he literally like grabbed a sword from his truck and lunged at them, wielding it. Why does do you know how many stores we have every like week? It seems like somebody's got a machete or a sword. Is that like a thing in Florida?
Apparently.
Like a concealed carry machete? I don't know. They figured the guy was drunk when deputies arrived. They placed him under arrest. So, you know, there's. Let's see. I got a couple. We got the shark bite guy. This one I'm not reading because it's gross. It's true. It is. There's one guy who, and I see, I literally have another guy threatened another person with a machete. Yeah, another machete. This was 7 days ago. This one is a teenager who threatened this elderly person with a machete. And this was. In Jacksonville. It was at a suburban Jacksonville library. So that, of course, he got arrested. But I'm just like, that's my whole point. How many of these stories? I mean, I have another one that I read just last week that I have listed here. I'm going to start collecting all our machete swords stories. Deputy say was accused of grabbing two women. He grabbed two women by the throat near a polling place. He was upset over politics. Well, you can't assault people over it. This was in Fishhawk. They say that in this Florida town, Election Day turned violent. Deputies were called because this old dude named Stuart James McMillan, 71, and two women had a disagreement over political candidates. McMillan pulled one of the victim's flags to the ground, grabbed her hair and throat. The second victim tried to help. He also grabbed her throat. They said that it was the polling station. They said that they were attacked for expressing their free speech. So this guy was arrested. He was charged with two counts of battery. Is it just battery? I mean, you grab someone by the throat.
I guess.
I don't know. I know that's probably like a legal definition question, but still I'm like, that seems like it's assault. But guy's 71 years old. Now, if they would have attacked him, they would have gotten an additional charge for attacking an elderly person. Because it's like 65 or older, then it's you get an additional slap. Like you attack somebody 65 years of age or older. Because we have a ton of those stories in Florida, man, where somebody attacks. And you could be like 64 and attack a 65-year-old. Because we had one of those stories. And that guy, I swear to you, the 64-year-old got hit with like one of those attack an elderly person kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, it's not entirely fair, but you know, that's kind of our partners at Hillsdale College. Great educational institution, and Hillsdale exists to offer the education that is required to preserve and protect liberty. And that's what that's their intention since they were founded in 1844. It's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in Southern Michigan, and they have all kinds of opportunities. You don't have to be at their campus in Southern Michigan to take advantage of them. They have all kinds of opportunities, whether it's their free educational podcast, and you can deep dive on a number of issues led by every visiting author, their staff, faculty, or maybe it's their free speech digest in Primus. They've also been handing out free pocket constitutions as part of their mission to spread awareness about our nation's core values. And you can still get your free pocket constitution by visiting Dana4Hillsdale.com. Now, if you have one, you can get one for someone you know who may not have one. And it's a great way to share these crucial documents, not just with your neighbor, the next generation, with anybody who might need it. And it's free to you. It ships to you for free. It's free. You, when you go to their website, you just give them your address. They're not selling your information. That's all it is a free pocket constitution from Hillsdale. To get yours, visit Dana4Hillsdale.com. Fill out the form. They'll mail it to you with free shipping. Now, it won't last long, so act today. It's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
We could regulate social media because one of the biggest offenders is DC and Congress have not been able to do one thing in regard to the rogue corporations.
It's not going to get any better with Elon Musk now.
They're so mad over Elon Musk. They're so mad over it. What do you mean rogue? They have to abide by laws just like every other entity in the United States does. So I don't understand where this, you know, rogue stuff is coming from. They're upset because people. Just like how it was in the beginning. And remember, the left have now gone back to being upset over social media. They were super mad over social media back in the early days of Barack Obama's campaign. Because as we've talked about before, the right was so successful in using social media to advance their agenda. And there were more conservatives using social media than there were people on the left. And that was about the time that Jack Dorsey and others were prevailed upon by the left to alter their algorithms and change the playing field to make it not level, to tilt it in favor of the left so they could suppress the dissent, so they could suppress the ideas that they did not want to debate in a public forum. And then they tried to diminish all ideas with which they disagreed as being like, again, you guys know the drill, Nazi, Hitler, racist, sexist, misogynist, whatever. So as a way to excuse them from not having to make the effort of offering a counter. And that's how they excuse themselves. So the change in social media, I mean, that's what really hurt conservatives. And then now X has been, well, now Twitter's X after Musk acquired it. And it's kind of gone back to the way that it used to be. I know that they're still peeling back all of the algorithms and everything that the left had thrown onto it, but they are now they're going back and they're trying to restore it to what it was prior to that. And that's been a very strong counter to all of the garbage that legacy media has pushed out there. The laptop story, for instance. I mean, you did not see pushback on that anywhere else. You couldn't. It was so suppressed. And Twitter, they were really suppressing it. And then Musk bought it. And then now it's like information can go out freely. I think they have a really good community notes program where people can fact check, like, this is wrong, this is incorrect. And then people will fact check the fact check. Like, this is argumentative. It's completely biased. Or this isn't. This is a legitimate objection. I think it's a good system. And I also think it requires people to be a little bit more discerning in terms of the information they consume and believe. And it should be. People should have that responsibility themselves and not outsource it anywhere else. But regardless, they're mad because all of this stuff was able, conservatives were able to counter bad information. Republicans were able to counter bad information on X when they couldn't through their networks, through the ABCs and CBSs and NBCs. And that has infuriated the left because they can't control it. It infuriates them. I think that they don't like countering ideas with which they disagree for a number of reasons. And it has nothing to do with the fact that they think it's, you know, the person or the argument is racist, sexist, bigoted, misogynist. What else is am I missing, Kane? Oh, transphobic, whatever is this. There's like a million. But they think they're too good. The left honestly believes that they're too good, that how dare you question them? Can you imagine going into every disagreement thinking that? Like, how dare you question me? That's what the left believes, though. They feel like they are the more educated, the more open-minded, and that you are just some dumb poor, and how dare you question their positions, where they stand on things. That's their, that's part of the, one of the reasons why they get so aggressive, because they internal, they take it so personally. When you disagree with them, you're challenging how smart they want you to think that they are. You're challenging their status. They think they're elite. You're challenging that by questioning it. That's why they get so mad. I mean, normal people, if you're like, well, I disagree with that. And a normal person is like, oh, well, you know, why is that? Let's have a, you know, and people are genuinely interested. Like, can I glean something from this? I mean, if you're, if it's about actually educating oneself, learning more about the issue, you welcome, right? You welcome. If there's, oh, you know something that I don't, oh, please share it, because you're collecting information. The left is like, how dare you? And then without any other place to go, they just, racist. That's all they do. But that kind of helps to explain why they take it so personally. And they're still doing it. Audio soundbite 10. Rachel Maddow, one of the most unaware things I've ever seen, is complaining about how she thinks the administration is going to change the press. Watch.
The free press needs to give the people of this country assurances that they will not become state TV, that they will stand and fight together. They will put aside rivalries and petty professional differences. They will stand and fight together as the free press, as the fourth estate, as an institution that is a pillar of our democracy, as these guys on the other side inevitably start picking off individual journalists, individual publishers, individual news organizations to try ultimately to turn us all into some American-accented version of RT.
Hmm. Really? Really? I mean, again, let's go back to 2016. If you want to talk about RT, which is Russia Today, let's look at all of the journalists that, including like what Isikoff and others, who were, had stories funneled to them by the Hillary Clinton campaign through Fusion GPS. The stories were laundered through the press, and then they were brought to the FISA court to get a surveillance warrant on Carter Page, who at the time actually was a CIA asset, and the CIA had to step in and thwop the FBI. Or let's look at what happened here with the New York Times. So the New York Times had this big piece in which they were trying to explain why it was that Kamala Harris lost. They were trying to unpack this for people. And they had, like, for instance, here's one of the, they were talking about one of the really effective Trump ads that he started running the right before the election. And he had one on Sunday Night Football and then others. And they were characterizing the ads as being, quote, anti-trans. This is what they wrote. And it was about, you know, she's for they, them, we're for you. The New York Times writes, the anti-trans ads cut to the core of the Trump argument that Ms. Harris was dangerously liberal, the exact vulnerability her team was most worried about. The ads were effective with Black and Latino men, according to the Trump team, but also with moderate suburban white women who might be concerned about transgender athletes in girls' sports. So, This is one example of many where the media is saying, oh, well, these are anti-trans ads. They actually didn't say anything anti-trans. They said she's for they, them, we're for you. When they also mentioned immigration, wanting to close the border, the New York Times described it as anti-immigration. Except it's not anti-immigration. It's anti-illegal immigration. And illegal immigration is anti-immigration. And being pro-illegal immigration is anti-immigration. You see why people don't trust the media? Because the media doesn't trust the people. The media views the people as an enemy to be fought. Somehow, at some point, the media decided to separate itself from being a tool of the people. They decided to ensconce themselves as a separate class and act as though, no, you have to go and be brainwashed at one of these universities in order to be able to write stories in your own community. That's why they revile public journalism. I think all journalism should be public. And if people have a problem with that, then you know what? Then do better in your life. Everybody has the power of discernment. Everybody has brain cells. I've had people tell me, well, you don't want just any Tom, Dick, or Harry writing stories. Well, you also don't want partisan hacks who are activists writing I mean, do you see the situation that we're in? It didn't work your way. Maybe let's try this one. But they realize it's a vein of power. They want to control that power. They don't trust it. It got confused at some point. They decided instead of holding accountable government, they wanted to go after the people that the government is supposed to represent, that they derive their authority to do so from those people. They decided they got it backwards. And Rachel Maddow has the audacity in her cushy job at MSNBC to say that, oh, well, heaven forbid, we don't want there to be an RT. Again, the same media that fabricated that the laptop was Russian misinformation peddled the signatures of these intel officials who signed this statement knowing it was false, who pushed to suspend people on social media for sharing true information and questioning the suppression of that information. RT is already here, and it's you. How they tried to hide what was happening in schools with trans policies. How they tried to hide how the girl was raped in a bathroom by a student who identified as trans, an 18-year-old male. How they lied about Biden's dementia. I mean, we watched this guy wither in the public eye for the past 4 years. And how dare you ask a question about it? It's just his stutter. They hid it. And then when it was advantageous to them to switch it out for somebody else, then they're, oh, well, you know, it makes sense because Biden's not doing so well anymore. You think? And then now they're going back the other way. Well, maybe he actually should have stayed and won. He probably would have performed better than she did. I mean, how, and they have the audacity to ask the American people and try to lecture the American people. Oh, well, they're going to turn it into a version of RT. You have Stephanie Ruhle on MSNBC, who's just out of her mind. Speaking of which, more bad media. Audio soundbite 11. Listen.
And the person we are now betting on to change all of it is Donald Trump, a man who did two almost impossible things. He won the American presidency twice, and he drove a casino into the ground. What will the future hold? Now that America has just decided that we're going to F around and find out.
That's a serious newscaster.
No.
Is she trying to editorialize there? That's on MSNBC. What do you mean F'd around? So Americans exercise their vote? Wait, I thought you guys were talking about preserving and protecting democracy. Now it's just effing around. That's how you, because it didn't go your way. Now it's just effing around. I mean, I don't necessarily, it's not how I define voting, the democratic process in this republic. Now, I have a million things, because the post-mortem on Democrats and the left, I think it's incredibly important because the left is at a crossroads here. Do they, I don't know, listen to sense and maybe think we should walk back a little bit? Like maybe James Carville was right. Maybe we shouldn't have been out there talking about, you know, trans this, trans that, shaming everyone as Hitler. Maybe we should just walk it in a bit. Or do they go, you know what? We didn't call enough people Hitler. We didn't trans it enough. Which way are they going to go? They have to make that determination. And they're not really great at making decisions if this last campaign season was anything to go by. Our partners over at Kel-Tec, the P15. Kel-Tec's P15 is the lightest, the thinnest, the finest striker fire double stack 9mm on the market. And I have them. I know, because they make the metal version, metal frame, which has the beautiful walnut wood grip panels. They also have the polymer version, gator grip texture. In the P15, you're not losing any stopping power. You're not giving up any concealability. The way that they've engineered this thing is awesome. And with the P15, you get that striker fire reliability, nice trigger pull, tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic, 2-dot rear. And it comes with two standard capacity magazines. You got a 15-round mag with minimal pinky extension, a flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 rounds for extra concealability. And it's made with American materials by American workers in America, in Florida particularly. America needs more companies like Kel-Tec. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more about the P15 at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first up, a university scraps English literature as not any longer a viable degree. Interesting. It's Canterbury Christchurch University. They blamed a decline in applicants as it drops the subject for new students. And they said that nobody's interested. So nobody wants to go and study classic English literature anymore. Oh, well, I think you guys charge too much for it anyway. So people are probably like looking and seeing, why does this kind of class cost that much? Australia wants to ban social media for kids under the age of 18 because apparently the parents are unable to do it without being pushed by the nanny state government. So that's the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, announced plans to ban it, saying that it's doing harm to our kids. I'm calling time on it, et cetera, et cetera. I guess that they're going to be looking through their lawmakers' legislations entering Parliament this year. And it's apparently after they ratify it, it's going to take effect. So I don't know what the penalties would be, but I mean, what are you going to like go after parents for like some kind of negligence if they don't go with it? It's just odd. That's what parents are for, not government. Apple is going to face the first EU fine under the bloc's Digital Markets Act. So they were being accused of violating antitrust laws. And this is a story. It's been a long time in the works. Big tech antitrust laws. And they've been clashing with how much they make in the Apple store with the EU's these digital antitrust laws that they have. And they said watchdogs are readying the penalty after the iPhone maker failed to allow app developers to steer users to cheaper deals and offers that exist outside of the app store. And so they have this Digital Markets Act. It's pretty punitive. And this comes after they were hit with a $2 billion fine for similar abuses under their traditional competition rules, i.e. like music streaming, Spotify, and things like that. So that's excessive daytime sleepiness can lead to dementia. We talked about this yesterday. This is a repeat. Having fewer friends actually could be better for your health, says a study. And I actually don't disagree with that in a way. They said that this is a study from Exeter, UK. Keeping a smaller circle of friends help you to avoid drama. I am all about that. And they said if you're a monkey, it helps to keep you from getting ill. That seems like a weird statement. Monkeys also don't wear shoes, so I guess they get sick less, so we should go barefoot. I mean, that's dumb. It's like a correlation isn't causation. So they said that, however, many animals, they write, including humans, may reduce their social connections as they age. And they said that having, you know, just like a healthy, smaller group of friends might be better. They said that socially reclusive Neanderthals, they said humans are predisposed to being social creatures. It's not why our ancestors survived. Neanderthals did not. However, there is healthy limits, a healthy medium. Well, duh, everything. There always is with everything.
We have had an enormous setback in this election because the fascist won a lot of working class support, which has happened before in history, and we can talk about that. But you know, I think what is important is that we have to be able to hold that analysis and have these discussions without turning on each other.
Well, you kind of just did there. I mean, AOC is like, well, the fascist won working class support. So she just said that the working class people that voted Democrat prior were fascists because they're backing a fascist. I've heard that, right, Kane? That's what I heard. That's what I heard. Yeah. That's what she just said. So how are you separating calling him a fascist and then saying that the people who voted for him that were working class that had previously voted Democrat are also fascists? They're having a hard time. They're having a really hard time. It's day two of the loss. Day two. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lasher with you at the top of this third hour. They're having a really hard time. Sunny, what's her name? Hostin?
I think so.
Over at The View. Get that ready. I don't know. Is it? She's got like a Koontz name, doesn't she?
Hostin.
She's basically said to blank all them voters. She's very upset. They had a big fight about it on The Shmoo. Which, if you have never watched The Shmoo, it's a delightful little show where they place a camera into a barnyard. And you have these, you know, chickens that cluck and heifers that get in there and everything else. And that's they put it on NBC. It's fascinating. fascinating story, and they all talk around a round table. But they were very upset about this, and they were saying that because they're fighting over, you know, the voting subsets. Listen.
Finally, we talk a lot about these different demographics and these assumptions of where they're going to go. Latinos in Texas, a district that's 97% Latino, went 75 percentage points for Donald Trump. Why?
Misogyny.
On the border.
It's
the border
misogyny.
Crisis is on their doorstep.
So,
and they were begging people to care about it for years. We need to take
sexism,
some lessons.
That's what that was.
The lessons are not
knock, knock. Sexism. Who's there? Oh, my gosh. It's Whoopi.
Misogyny and sexism. So Sunny Hostin says, because, you know, she's been to the RGV many a time, I'm sure. She's got a house in McAllen, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. She thinks that all of the people down there in the border who voted overwhelmingly Republican, it's not because of the open border and the lawlessness that is destroying their community and threatening their security. It's because they just didn't like the fact that Kamala Harris is a woman and a mixed race woman. At that. Didn't like it. They will never win because they're never going to understand how to appeal to voters, especially like with that attitude. They're never going to win. I'm okay with that. Kane, you okay with that?
Yeah.
I'm all right with it. Yeah. Go ahead and let them do that. They're never going to win because they think that everything comes down to race and sex. Oh, no, it couldn't possibly be because people were tired of having to deal with cartel violence and they were tired with the deluge of illegal immigrants coming across the border. Lawlessness and disorder couldn't be because of that. It's because of racism and sexism. They do this to themselves. You're attacking people who were your voters. You're running them further away from you. It's really... We saw it in 2016 when there were a lot of Democrats who chose not to pull the lever for Hillary. And after years of loyal voting and supporting the party, they decided that they were going to call all of these people racists and sexists. And now they're doing it all over again. The fact that they can't speak to what is the main issue and why for those voters in border towns is why Democrats won't win them. If you can't identify and speak to the problem, how the hell are you going to communicate with them? How are you going to win them? This whole, well, it's racism and sexism. You just made it worse because you diminished the actual concern. You dismissed it. And then you impugned their character because you are unable to counter it. You're unable to speak to the issue that is the most important to them. And because you have an inability to do that, you think that they have a moral failing. That's horrible. This entitled broad sitting there up on The View, who's never, ever had to worry about anything but silver spoons, actually has the audacity to impugn the character of people who live in border towns. Oh, the problem is you. It's not that our candidate was unqualified. It's that you... You are a moral failure. You are a racist. You're a sexist. That's what it is. Jeez. That doesn't do anything to persuade people to support you. It builds resentment. And in fact, you're stealing the opposition. That's exactly what's happening. They did vote for Hispanics. He built a huge, huge coalition and doubled his support. But you know who else voted for Trump and actually of all the demographics voted for him at a higher rate than any other racial demo? This shocked me. When you break down Black, Hispanic, Latino, Asian, American Indian, other, white, you see the breakdown. You had for white people, of those who voted, 43 to 55%, 55% red. Black Americans was higher than it was previously, but it's still low, 12%. Hispanic Latinos, 45% red now. Asian Americans, 38% red. Now, this is still a small number, but it is a huge segment of the number. American Indians, 35 to 64%. Red. I am shocked. It's almost like years of appropriating their ethnicity by Democrats, i.e. Elizabeth Warren, years of continuing Democrats' racial policies, you know, I mean, not allowing American Indians to even own their own property on reservations, and introducing and creating and maintaining policies that keep them on those reservations, keep them on government leased land. It's almost like that's not attractive to American Indian voters anymore, is it? Like dumping a bunch of chemicals in the Animas River in Colorado and having it poison your livestock and hurt your crops, and then there being no apology from the EPA on that. It's almost like there's a history of Democrats doing stuff to American Indians that finally American Indians are like, maybe we shouldn't support the party that actually put us where we are. Maybe we shouldn't support the party that put us on the trail of genocide. Maybe we shouldn't support the party that ignored a Supreme Court order and seized lands in contravention of the Constitution and marched us all from Georgia to Oklahoma. Maybe we shouldn't support the party that continues those policies, although they're more widely acceptable within the left today. That's pretty stunning to see that fraction break away like that. I mean, I did not see that actually happening. The issues that Democrats were pushing galvanized an opposition coalition unlike anything I've seen. And it's still, I mean, I still think we're going to see some other crazy trends happening from this.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.